Good morning, everyone. It's an honor, what a privilege to be with you this morning. I don't take this privilege lightly in bringing the word this morning. So I'm not going to mess around too much, but it is great to be home here in Africa. Most of my life has been spent here, so I say that I'm the true Afro-American. And that was by choice, not by birth. All right, so our message this morning is entitled The Unity of the Spirit and the Bond of Peace. And so when I was contemplating what I was going to actually share, I wasn't sure the direction I was going to go, so I thought, let me give it a really broad title, and that gives me a lot of latitude. In other words, I can just basically preach anything this morning with that kind of a title. I'd like you to open, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 12 and 14. For as the body is one, has many members, but all members of that body, that one body, being many, are one body. And so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of that one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So again, just for the point of clarity, the body of Christ, as we would understand, is made up of every person who has accepted the free gift of your righteousness through putting your faith in Jesus. And so that's what it's talking about when it talks about being baptized into that one body. So the body of Christ is made up of not only everybody that's in this room that has been born of the Spirit, but also any other group of believers who are gathered this morning who have received Jesus. They are also members of that same body. So whenever we use this title here, it says the unity of spirit in the bond of peace, we're talking about being unified in the reality of our relationship in the body of Christ. We are members one of another. And so now some of you are nervous because I came down off the platform. And you know what? Because the reason is because really what we're going to be talking about this morning is that Jesus is calling. Amen. He's calling this morning. And he's going to use the vessel before you to help some of you step out and step into the reality of what God has for you as a member of his body. Amen. Are you nervous? No. Okay. And so you say, well, why are you coming down here? Well, you know, it's like whenever Jesus talked about the lost sheep, he says the shepherd would leave the 99 and go after the one. Well, you have to go to the lost place to find the lost sheep. And some of you are hiding out here in the bushes. And so I'm in the bushes this morning because I believe the presence of God is on me this morning because Jesus is calling some of you who have never surrendered your life, some of you who have dabbled in the truth and you've given your life to Christ, but you've never obeyed him to the point where it transcended just a head knowledge of, yes, I'm going to heaven, and that he really actually wants to come and live in you, walk in you, and move in you like you've never experienced him before. I think everybody, if you were honest, knows the reality of the day in which we live. We are getting close to the end of the age. And so God takes this very serious in the fact that there are many who have not received him yet, and he's calling some of you to go into the lost places upon this planet, in this country, in this nation, and other nations that have never entered into your mind yet because you keep resisting. We got some nodding going on in the front row up here. Well, because everybody in the body has something to do. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to read at length a passage here, which I use every time. So if you thought, well, he used that in the last time he spoke. Yep, I did, because I use this verse every time I speak. And I'm not ashamed of it. Because the Word of God is life. The Word of God is power. And it has the ability to transform you if you'll yield to it. But if you keep resisting, if you keep denying, if you keep rejecting, you will harden your heart to what God's calling you to do. God's calling today. From verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this," or we decide this, "that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we do not know him any longer. Therefore, if anyone, male or female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile, anyone is in Christ, old things are passed away. For they are a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So in plain English, anybody in Christ has now been given a portion of the ministry of reconciliation. And I added that portion there because nobody's called to do everything. But we all are all called to do something. And doing something is not coming to Sunday service and sitting there hiding. "Ah, Pastor, you're shouting at me." I'm exhorting you. I'm encouraging you that God has something bigger than you have experienced to this point. And the thing is, whatever it is that God calls you to do, you can't do it by yourself. So as my biography was kind of written, read there this morning, he said that, Pastor Shoup's been working now 38 years. That's longer than a lot of you have been alive. And that during that 38 years, I never was asked to do something that I could do in my own strength or my own ability. I was with some people yesterday and shared our testimony again of how God called us into the ministry. And I, like many of you, was very reluctant to yield myself fully and commit myself to what God wanted of me, because I had misunderstandings, I had bad thinking when it came to what it meant to participate in the ministry. So as a young boy, as a youth, I knew that God was going to use me in the continent of Africa. But from where I came from, I was scared of that concept. Because I come from the village in America. And most all of our family, they were born there, raised there, and they stay there. So for me to think go to Africa, that was a big stretch for me. And so I did not want to engage God very seriously, because I didn't want to do that. Because the only thing I knew about the continent of Africa during my young life was we had a very small window or picture of what was taking place in Ethiopia back in the 60s and 70s. And some of you that are old enough to remember that, there was a famine, there was all kinds of turmoil. And all I ever saw about African people were starving children with bloated bellies and flies that would buzz around their head. And that was the picture I had. The second picture I had was a missionary lady that was from our area that we knew of. And, she gave me what I thought was what missionaries look like. And I thought, as a young boy, I don't want to marry something like that. Because she fit the stereotype. She didn't have a pith helmet like the British missionaries, but she did, she just wore secondhand clothes and tennis shoes and wasn't very attractive. And so, you know, young men were not interested in unattractive women. I'm just being honest with you. So that made me reluctant to engage God, even though I knew in my heart that Africa was my destiny, my calling, and my purpose. And so some of you, whenever we talk about the reality of being called into this ministry of reconciliation, you're very reluctant because you have different ideas of what it means to be in the ministry. And the ministry is often misrepresented today. Mm-hmm. In various different ways. We've got a lot of charlatans and thieves and robbers who stand in the pulpit dressed up better than I am this morning. Or they might be wearing pajamas. Nigerians wear pajamas, you know that. And so they misrepresent, and so you think, I don't want anything to do with that if that's the ministry. Now, thankfully, you that are part of this local body of believers, known as Miracle Life Family Church, you have great examples but that stand before you in the ministry. So hopefully you're not having to overcome that obstacle, but you might still be stumbling a little bit in the reality that ministry is not flash, it is not deception, it's actually real life and people being used by God to touch them in their lives. And every one of you have something to contribute. And the ministry that we are to aspire to is not Pastor Walker. It's not Pastor Moffat. It's not Pastor Sammy. It's the ministry of Jesus. Amen. This ministry of reconciliation that he began and made it possible for us to experience and to then also buy into or step into our own ministry of reconciliation. So you still got your Bible open, don't you? Verse 19 reads, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are the ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us, and we implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now it puzzled me when I saw that where it said, you now be, I'm pleading, be reconciled to God. And I thought, you know, he's writing to Christians who are reconciled. Well, are you reconciled in this sense? Are you reconciled to the reality that he's given you the ministry? To as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. By virtue of who you now are in Christ as a son of God, and I'm not being sexist, dividing between male and female, because in the kingdom of God, there is neither male nor female, but all are one when we are in Christ. So in the body of Christ, we have been reconciled to him in that way, but now we need to reconcile our lives to this fact that you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So I'll take you back to verse 15 where it says that we no longer are we to know anybody. Excuse me. That's verse 16. For now, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Why is that? Well, verse 15 says that he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So what I'm saying is your life, once you gave it to Christ, is over. But Pastor, no, I can't. He died for you. why would you ever think, now that you have received him, that he would desire of you to do something that would be bad for you? Because, you know, a lot of us have this concept that if we fully commit ourselves and surrender our life to him in this ministry of reconciliation, that he's going to make you do something that you don't want to do. That's why, you know, we have these religious cliches. Never say never, because that's exactly what God will make you do. Like, you know, I'll never go to Mozambique. Like I one time said, I'll never go to India. And I used, for the last number of years, I've been there almost every year. But as much as that's true, once you surrender your life to God and he takes you where you might not have wanted to go, you'll find out it's a blessing to follow the plan of God for your life. So God is calling this morning for some of you to step up and step out from the back of the bushes and to step into what he's called you to do and purpose for you. I'm imploring you. I'm beseeching you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to this reality that if you have received him, he has given you the ministry of reconciliation. No exceptions, no exclusions. From the least to the great, from the small to the large, to the young to the old, as many has received him, he's given you a ministry called reconciliation. And he wants to use you in the same way that he used our elder brother, Jesus. No exceptions, no exclusions. I can't. I'm divorced. I can't. My tribe. I can't. My age. That vocabulary has no place in the family of God. For you are the body of Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 and 28 actually gives this phraseology. He says, now you are the body of Christ and members individual. Another translation says, and members in particular. Which goes along with Peter says, you know, Peter made this statement. Most of you probably read this passage. He said, now you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, the King James says, a peculiar people. And I think, you know, some of us are more peculiar than others. And most of you are thinking, yeah, you're pretty peculiar walking around like that. I can't help it. This is the way God uses me. And so as I'm walking and as I'm talking, God's showing me. For I see things that you know not. For by the Spirit, he looks upon your life and I see the destinies and the purposes that sit before me this morning. Not small, not insignificant, but great. Great. Because for every one of you that have partaken of your eternal destiny by receiving Jesus, there's purpose. There's a plan. There's miracles. There's gifts of healing. There's words of wisdom, words of knowledge. There's tongues and interpretation of tongues. Dormant many times on the inside of you because you refuse and are rebellious. Pastor, you're shouting again. Yes. Like the children of Israel, some of you are stiff-necked and hard-hearted towards God because you do not want to obey. And he's calling today. The scripture says, trust and obey. We're talking about the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, believe it or not. Colossians 1:18 and 22 reads, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he would have preeminence. because it pleased the Father that in him the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, that's all of us, you were alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. So as I walk amongst you, I'm seeing holy, blameless people above reproach, yet there you are, sitting on your hands, not willing to take a stand and obey what God's called you to do. So, as Pastor Moffat said, I've spent the last 2 weeks teaching on the subject of righteousness. And I always take this poll whenever I teach our students here. And I've been teaching here ever since it was. And without exception, I have the same response in every class. And basically, I premise this poll that I take by kicking over a sacred cow. And a sacred cow is just simply a tradition of men, a doctrine that we adhere to and believe that is not in the Bible. And one of those sacred cows that I love to kick, and I'm going to kick it again this morning, is that, you know, God is in control. We even sang it this morning. You ought to nix not that phrase from that song. God is not in control. If he's in control, he's made a pretty big mess of this world. Ooh, man, did it get quiet in here right now? I'm telling you. You know, because I can hear what's going on around the room. And right now, this... Because most of you still believe that. Because it sounds religious and it sounds wonderful that, well, you know, God in his sovereignty, he's in control. Is he? People are dying in Iran today. He's not in control of that mess. And I prove it. And here's what I do. So that's, I brought that in. And then I prove that God is not in control. And I asked the students, and we've got a record number this year. I think there's 250-something. That's a lot of folks. But it's bigger than that. It's going to grow beyond this because there's a great harvest yet to come. And I believe even this morning, some of you are going to finally obey and submit yourself and get ready for the ministry that God's called you by signing up to Rhema. So here's how I prove it. You still with me?
Yes.
Okay. I say, with show of hands, how many of you, God told you to come to Rhema a year ago? Previous. Hands go up. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And beyond that, people who God spoke to. God still speaks today. Because God's calling. God's calling you. Beyond 5 years, people refuse to obey God and submit themselves to the Word of God so their life could be experience what Romans chapter 12 promises. And that is that a transformation would take place because their mind is renewed. Now you are the body of Christ, members of it, individual. And we need to walk worthy of this reality of who we are in Jesus and follow and trust the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, no matter what it is that he's called us to do. And some of you need to obey and sign up for Rhema. Others of you, it's called the School for Life. That our church offers. It's another means whereby you can grow in the knowledge of God. And by growing in the knowledge of God, it adds to your life capacity for grace to flow. Because grace cannot flow beyond what you trust and believe God for. It's just like when you got saved. By grace, you're saved through faith. not of works, lest you would boast. It's a gift of God. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. So our life then, as we live it now, we no longer live it according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, and we obtain grace to live this new life that we have in Jesus. So another shocker that I give to the students is, you know, to live in the reality of the gift of our righteousness by conducting ourselves consistent with that. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's impossible. Independent of grace, you can't live righteously. But with grace, you can. Not your own effort, not your labor, not your hard work, but totally dependent upon the Spirit of God, which is known as the Spirit of grace, by the way, to enable you, to empower you to do as Jesus did. This is why Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he said, it's no longer, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. For it's no longer I live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. The just live by their faith. And faith is our response to what grace provides. And grace has provided salvation. That word there, salvation, is a Greek word called soteria, which is a package deal of not only eternal life in the life that is to come, but in this life it provides healing, deliverance, soundness, and wholeness because of our new identity. For we are no longer the same person that once walked alienated from the life of God through our ignorance and through our wicked works. We were separated. We were segregated from Him. But now we have been engrafted into the body of Christ. For you're baptized into this one body. We're still in Colossians. We've touched a few other verses. Colossians chapter 2, 8 through 10. Beware lest anyone cheat you through the philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Jesus is the head of the body. You know, one of the things, I hate to say this, but it kind of annoys me about our Zambian culture. But because I'm a Mzungu, I'm often referred to as Bwana. Big man. I'm not the big man. Pastor Walker's that guy. I'm short in stature. And I'm certainly not your boss. And again, I know from our background why that is. And it's not necessarily disrespect that you're giving when you call someone Bwana. Okay? But nonetheless, I don't need to be called Bwana because I'm your brother. How'd I get off on that? Oh, I know, because Jesus is the Bwana. He is the big man. He's the boss of me, and He should be the boss of you. And here's the thing, He's a good boss. He knows what He has for you, and whatever He has called you, He will equip you and enable you to do by His grace, which according to Paul is always sufficient. It's always enough. And He's calling today. So you're wanted. There's a paradox to this. He wants you dead and He wants you alive. He wants you dead to the old way, the old man, the old ways of thinking, the old ways of processing. And He wants you to be alive in the Spirit, in the newness of your life, which is now in Christ Jesus. So you can say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I'm living. So again, 2 Corinthians 5 and 15 says, we died with Christ. And so now, having died with him, we live for him who died for us. So we surrender our lives to him. And that's why we jump back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm beseeching you. Like we said in 2 Corinthians 5, he beseeched us. That's a funny word, isn't it? I'm imploring you. I'm urging you. I am encouraging you. Present your body a living sacrifice, which is holy and reasonable. And you are holy. We already read that verse where it said that he made you and he sees you holy without blame in his sight. He made you that way. It's a gift that he has given you. But see, until you believe it, you'll never live it. You'll never act like it. And so he sees you and he's calling you, present your body. In other words, give yourself fully to the call of God into reconciling the world unto God. Be reconciled to the fact that you have been given a ministry of reconciliation. Now, my ministry right now takes me, I told a group yesterday, I said, you know, the only word I got after God moved us back to the United States in 2013 was the four corners of the earth. So to the best of my ability, that is my endeavor, is reaching the four corners of the earth with the gospel through the gift of teaching, making disciples. That's my primary. And for this year, a lot of my time is actually going to end up being spent right here in Zambia. So we began this particular journey by working in Livingston, where we were training all the chapels of every provincial prison in Zambia. What an awesome thing. These men and women who have given their lives in the work of reconciliation, who are ministering in a thankless, forsaken field of going into the prisons, where they're touching the worst of the worst, the brokenness of humanity, is there incarcerated in front of them. And so this ministry that I'm working in association with, they've actually placed in these prisons throughout Zambia Bible college on video. And it was interesting because the inmates started receiving these teachings and the instruction, and the guards, they wanted to do it too. The chaplains, they wanted to do it too. Now I think they've graduated over several hundreds of inmates and guards and chaplains have graduated from this video Bible college. And it's got the government's attention, so much so that other governments sent delegates to the chaplain training that I did in Livingston, because the incarcerated people that finish their sentence and got out, none of them are coming back that went through the Bible school. And typically it's a 60% rate, 60% return rate. Committing transgressions again, ending up back in jail. But because they get established in their identity that is in Christ, and that they've been given a ministry of reconciliation, a higher purpose than just living on this earth, guess what? It transforms their life. You see, you'll never know and fulfill what you've been called to do until you know the one who has called you and equipped you to do it. We see that in the person of Jesus. He is the one that began the work in you, and he will complete it, but it's only going to be complete when you yield. All right? Say it another way. When you obey. When your actions become consistent with what he's made you to be. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, this is verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Oh, there's that word again. I implore you. I'm encouraging you. Walk worthy of the calling which you were called. With lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. And here's the title of our message, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling through all and in you all. And to each one of you, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Is that in your Bible? Or is it just on my screen and on that screen? No, it's there. You have been called with one hope of a calling. So this is consistent. You know, in the very first chapter of this epistle, Paul prays a couple of prayers there in chapter 1 and chapter 3. And it's one of those things where the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this prayer out. So this is one of those prayers that you can pray for yourself, putting yourself in these verses. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you might know the hope of your calling, which is in Christ Jesus. No exceptions, no exclusions. According to the working of his mighty power that he accomplished or that he wrought when he raised Christ from the dead. That you would have a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation and knowledge. That you might know the exceeding greatness of his power towards you because you believe. Because there was a working of a mighty power. And that was when he raised up Christ from the dead, you too are raised from the dead if you be in Christ. And because we're raised together with him, he's now imploring you, he's beseeching you to fulfill your God-given purpose and arrive at the destiny that he has for you. And it's a good place. So I told you in my life, it was like I was scared about Africa. But you know, God used the local church as the incubator for the call of God upon my life. And he used this traditional church that had a goofy government of democratically elected people to serve in the church. And God used that in order to get me into the work of ministry. Now this church is founded and designed a lot more biblical than my church was. So in this church, there are methods, there's avenues, and there's opportunities for you to yield yourself and allow God to take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. But you've got to be willing and obedient. Because here's the thing. God is a gentleman and he will not force himself on you. And although we are to be possessed of the Holy Spirit, it's not like demonic control when it comes to the Holy Spirit's presence in you. You have received the gift of the Holy Spirit and been made righteous in the Spirit, but you still have the control or the ability by God's sovereign design that gave you free will and choice. And so your life will be more transformed into his image as you yield to him and allow him. And what it takes is simply you saying, yes, Lord, I'll obey. I'll do it. I will fulfill my God-given purpose. So this new you requires the new mind. So once again, we stumble around over this thing because we compare ourselves amongst ourselves. And the Bible says that is not wise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many are wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has, in fact, called or chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. He's chosen weak things of the world and to put shame that are those things that are mighty. The base things of the world and the things that are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh could glory in his presence. Well, that pretty much summarizes me. Not many wise in the flesh. That wasn't me. Not mighty, not noble, yet God called. So by what some would be consider to be foolish, he called me from that village in the United States to travel the world and represent him. And I don't do it in my own strength or my own ability, because I'm not given to be a public person. I'm not an outgoing person. I'm not an extrovert by any stretch of the imagination. But God, for whatever reason, puts me before people like you. And graces me and enables me. If there's anything that good comes out of what I've done or this whole process, it's, trust me, it is not on the basis of I'm such a hot shot. But he is. And his grace is always enough. Now, you are the body of Christ, members, individual, in particular. The Amplified says that each part has its place and function. The Message reads this way. It says that only when you find your place will it make any sense. Some of you are wondering why your life just doesn't seem to make any sense. It's because you haven't found your place in the body. And again, this analogy of the body of Christ, members, individual, Paul uses it in most all of his epistles. And there's, in Corinthians there, he talks about the hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. Every member, every part needs the other part to do its part for the body to function as it was designed. And that makes sense. It's reasonable that you submit, give your body as a living sacrifice and find your place. There are gaps, missing components in this body. Miracle Life Family Church. Parts that are not where they're supposed to be. And consequently, there's a shortfall. That's right. Because God doesn't get everything he wants and he's not in control, because he's waiting on you to obey and step into what God has for you. And you need to get prepared for training for life. Training is training for the ministry of reconciliation. Then there's others of you. You went through Rhema, and then you went back to the bushes. Is that inappropriate to point? You're hiding out there, sitting on your hands when God wants to use them to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse lepers. He wants to take you out of your chair and move you into what he has for you. It's mobile. Go. 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 And some of the going is to participate right here in this church. But until you yield and say, here am I, Lord, send me, that gap is not being filled, because there's only one person that's going to fit into that place. It's you. You are the body of Christ, members in particular, with a particular function, a particular ability. There are those that are serving at some level, but you know what? You're not fully engaged in what it is. In fact, now having this transitional season in the church, now you're going to like sit back and be judgmental and critical. fault finding rather than engaged and moving forward. So what the goodness of God, he's calling you to repent. Just change your mind, because in the body, the effectiveness of the body requires the unity of the spirit to provide the bond of peace. Because peace in the body is what produces the unity of the spirit. And when the spirit is unified, there's nothing impossible. So we used to sing that song, greater things are yet to come and greater things will be done. The greater things are yet to be done. And as great and glorious and powerful as what we're experiencing is, filling this place two times and a bit more on Sundays, it's more than that. And so just think about this. The more people we have, the more ministry is required. And that means the members need to step up and step into what God has for you. So I've got some stuff written down here. And man, I tell you what, it just, when I read it, it blesses my heart. And I hope when I read it to you, it'll do the same for you. You know, entry level is to be saved, to be born into the kingdom of God. And today is the day for salvation. If you went back to that 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, says, we then, as workers together with him, plead with you, it sounds like beseech to me, that you not receive the grace of God in vain. And he says, in an acceptable time, I've heard you, and in the day of salvation, I've helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation. And so today is that day. For some of you, it will be to be saved for the first time, you're only saved once. But for the first time, you're going to step out and step into the family of God. But the time for this body, the time has come to change. So don't resist, but cooperate. Yield to the Holy Spirit. What time is it? What time is it? It's time to move. It's time to grow. You have grown, but more are coming, for the day is at hand. The Holy Spirit is sweeping this land. The harvest remains plentiful, but the laborers remain few. Some need to step up and step in. Others need to sober up and take the call of God serious. Even though some continue to hold back and have not joined as they should, today is the day. Now is the time of your season. It's a season to reap. It's a season to grow. There is a season that has been planted and the water has been sown. But now, today is the day. Today is the day of your visitation. Be bold and courageous. For he is the I am. Not the am not. He was not the I was. And not just the I that will be, for I am now. So let your faith be now, and yet let your mouth say the same. Now is your time. This is your day. The calling, the time has come. The calling and separating must be done. So stand, be saved, and surrender to his power. So I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I've got a few minutes here. Right? 1 minute. Everybody rise to your feet. So I've talked a lot about the call of God that's on all of us to the ministry of reconciliation. And so this first call is to the consecration, the dedication, and the commitment of your life to do whatever it is that God's called you to do. And that means something different for everyone. And I'm not saying everybody's got to respond to this, but some of you do. Because in the response, in the obedience of stepping out, stepping forward, all we're going to do is you're going to come down here, we're going to pray together. And I believe in that act of obedience, God's going to meet you where you're at. So just go right ahead and play something, brother. And as we're praying this song, if God's touching your life this morning, and I don't care who you are, I don't care how old you are, or if you're from another church, I'm calling because Jesus is calling. Called to step up and step out and step into what God's destiny and what His purpose is for you. And you know who you are, for you have resisted up until today because you're afraid. So don't hesitate. We don't have much time. Come. Come. There's something God's called you to do. You know it. You know it. You know it. You know it. God's calling. Trust and obey. Be bold. Don't shrink back. Step forward. Step in. His grace will meet you. Hallelujah.